Radio Daily for Anti-Friday.
But the first full week of this month, so hey.
Yay, it's summertime almost, you know?
Yeah, that's what they tell me, but that's weeks away.
Summertime.
There it is. Welcome to the 6th of June. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing to you today, the lady asking the hard-hitting questions. But there's the Flintstress.
What's wrong, Lassie? Timmy fall down the well?
Huh? Huh? And that's how you get to the bottom, the truth, or whatever it is. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
There was a harmless way to extract the brain.
And I figured it was best if I found that. Because the other ways were just problematic. What happened on this fine, fantastical day, yeah?
Well, back in 1683, the general public is admitted for the first time to the world's first university museum, the Ashmolean Museum of Art and Archaeology in Oxford.
Didn't know there was enough universities back then to have a museum for them. 1899, Thomas Edison has issued a patent for his filament for and process of incandescent lamps.
1902, Scottish chemist Professor James Dewar exhibits air in the solid state and a jet of liquid air rising 6 feet above it with beautiful effects before the Prince and Princess of Wales.
1914, Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs is published as a hardcover. The story marks the debut of the character, who was originally published in the pulp magazine All Story Magazine back in 1912. Its popularity earned standalone publication and will soon spawn one of the most popular media franchises in history.
1933, the first drive-in movie theaters opened on a 10-acre site off of Wilson Boulevard in Camden, New Jersey, by a garage owner, Richard Hollingshead. It was a 40-foot by 30-foot screen and 400-car capacity arranged in a semicircular rows. The theater's debut film is Wife Beware. Hollingshead had shown films on his gas station forecourt the previous year and received a patent on the idea for the Automobile Theater. Automobile! Just 3 weeks prior.
1966, Gemini 9 returns to Earth after a flight which included a two-hour spacewalk broadcast live on television. The crew remained with the spacecraft, which was hoisted aboard the primary recovery ship, the aircraft carrier WASP, 53 minutes after landing.
1969, the first internet connection is established when network control protocol packets are sent from the data port of one interface message processor to another.
1971, the first space station flight Soyuz 11 is launched on a mission to Salyut 1 by the USSR.
1975, Atari introduces the anti-aircraft coin-operated arcade game.
1982, the Summer Consumer Electronics Show is held. During this event, 20th Century Fox announces its entry into the video game industry by forming a new division to create software for the Atari VCS game system.
Yeah. 1984, Alexei Pachinov first releases Tetris in the USSR. It'll go on to become one of the most popular puzzle games of all time. Pachinov created Tetris on an Electronica 60 while working at the Computer Center of the Soviet Academy of Sciences in Moscow with Dmitry Pavlovsky.
1996, Yahoo Incorporated announces a plan to beef up their search services by adding Digital Equipment Corporation's AltaVista search technology.
Wow. 2006, the Entertainment Software Association files a lawsuit against the state of Minnesota in order to overturn a new bill that would fine minors, children, and teens $25 for buying or renting mature and adults-only games. The group argues that the law violates First Amendment rights. In July, the court will rule the law unconstitutional.
Same day, same year, Google Incorporated launches a beta version of Google Labs spreadsheets as the first publicly available component of what will eventually become Google Docs.
Oh, thank you. Same day, same year, the film The Omen, directed by John Moore and starring Liev Schreiber, Julia Stiles, and Seamus Davy Fitzpatrick airs.
Not that good. 2008, Wizards of the Coast publishes the 4th edition Player's Handbook subtitled Arcane, Divine, and Martial Heroes for the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game. As a hardcover, the game's 4th edition has been redesigned to offer more streamlined gameplay with new rules intended to reduce the time required to run a game and make the game easier for new players. But Thaco will never die.
2009, Palm Inc. releases the Palm Pre smartphone through Sprint in an attempt to regain market share from Apple's iPhone. How did that work out for you? It's the first device to feature the Linux-based Palm Web OS operating system. It had a multi-touch screen, a sliding keyboard, 8 gigs of flash storage, both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi connectivity, but it was $200.
You could have it right there in your palm. Birthdays?
Paula Brancati is 33, Dark Oracle, Young Jane, and Painkiller Jane.
Paul Giamatti is 55 from Private Parts, Man on the Moon, Sideways, John Dies at the End.
Max Casella is 55 from Doogie Howser, Ed Wood, Dexter in Jackson Dexter, is on The Sopranos, and Boardwalk Empire.
Jason Isaacs is 59, Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter, Sinestro in Green Lantern Emerald Knights, Grand Inquisitor in Rebels, And was Captain Lorca in Star Trek Discovery.
Right. Sandra Bernhardt is 67 from Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams, Adventures of Ford Fairlane, Hudson Hawk, and Pulp Fiction.
Robert England is 75 from Eaten Alive, of course, was Freddy in the Elm Street series, was in Adventures of Ford Fairlane, Scarecrow in Injustice 2, and currently had a very weird turn in Stranger Things.
No longer with us, born in 1580, Godefroy Wendelin, Belgian astronomer and author. The crater Wendelinus on the moon is named after him.
1867, David T. Abercrombie, an American surveyor and businessman, founded Abercrombie & Fitch.
I like girls that wear Abercrombie & Fitch. 1932, Billy Whitelaw, Mrs. Blaylock in The Omen, and The Dark Crystal, and Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, baby.
Well, none of that's on TV, but CBS has The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, NCIS, and NCIS Hawaii.
ABC, The Wonderful World of Disney, Brave, and then they'll show an episode of The Chase afterwards.
Okay. NBC, American Ninja Warrior, All-Star Spectacular on a new American Ninja Warrior.
Fox, Little Miss Sunshine, don't forget the lyrics, and did she just do the splits on a new Beat Shazam? That's weird.
Okay. What? The CW has The Town of Roswell, enjoys peace with Jones no longer, there to pose a threat. Liz spends her time teaching while Max robs banks with his former partner. A sudden storm threatens the peace and makes everyone uncertain about the future on a new Roswell, New Mexico, and a new In the Dark.
Freeform will be showing Hotel Transylvania and Hotel Transylvania 2.
AMC has The Perfect Storm.
Bravo. Chef Marcos receives upsetting news, which forces him to cope with added complications while preparing dinner. As the weather takes a turn for the worse, the deck crew attempts to avoid another running aground situation on the yacht, on a new below deck sailing yacht.
That probably happens way more than it should. FX, Paul is devastated when he is forced to make his new by his new boss to make funding cuts. After Allie's attempt to express Ava ends in humiliation, she tells Paul some home truths, just as Jackie realizes the terrible truth about a dying friend on a new breeder.
FXX, your Simpsons marathon has Raging Abe and much a poo about nothing.
FXM is underwater.
Oh, Sci-Fi Channel will be showing Doctor Strange.
If you're into that hockey, we'll snipe Sally 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs on TNT.
Sure. True TV will be showing Kingsman the Secret Service, but tonight it's the Lifetime Movie Network because a fashion designer meets a new friend when she uses a rideshare app to take a car ride. But trouble arises when the woman realizes her new friend is protecting a dark secret that will guarantee their bond will never be broken. Taylor Spretler and Danielle Burgess star in Driven to the Edge.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Abby takes Thomas to Dr. Tripp and meets Chad, a single father to Charlotte, and those babies get along well. So Abby and Chad go on a few dates, both thinking it's best for their kids to have a family. And that line of thinking causes Chad to propose to Abby, who says no. Now, they're both fine with this, so Abby is shameless. I mean, she wants her passions to come naturally and not be forced. She will talk all about this encounter with the mommy she hangs with. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Greetings, GRD crew. I know it's Thursday. Well, it was when you wrote this, and you haven't heard from me yet. In fact, it's almost 9 p.m. Eastern as I write this, so it probably won't get mentioned on the show. But I was out of town on an important trip full of many, many activities, and I was directly back to work out in the field today. So it's like the first chance I've had to devote some time to my, and everybody's favorite mystery game, The Adventures of Chad and Abby. Monday's clues led me to an actor who appeared in almost every Western TV show you could think of, and probably more than a few you couldn't. His filmography was long, but I dug around and figured out that Chad and Abby are on Black Saddle. Cheers. That's from Jared, back in Anaheim. P.S. Happy Pride Month. I got to stand in front of the Stonewall Inn on Christopher Street in Greenwich Village, New York City, and the adjacent park on Monday. I also got to see some preparations being made for New York's Pride celebration. Well, dude, that's cool. And yes, you were absolutely right. Chad and Abby were on Black Saddle last week, apparently just like they were in November of 2020. Huh. How about that? I will do better, I promise. If you got the slightest idea where they are this week, by all means, drop us a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, use a voicemail or text message. The magic numbers you need would be
510-GRD-CREW.
everybody should use Mark's list of our stuff.
Hi, I'm Terry J. Ammon, host of Video Fuzzy, a media-centric nostalgia bomb currently working through thousands of DVD transfers from VHS tapes of television you may remember fondly, or not, as well as current recordings, cross-connections, and comments along the way. Find my blog at videofuzzy.blogspot.com and my Video Fuzzy podcast wherever you get your podcasts. For Video Fuzzy, I'm Terry J. Ammon. Happy viewing! It might be amazing, it might just be sketchy. You will find out together on Video Fuzzy.
Hello, this is Larry Niven, and for reasons I don't understand and don't need to understand, this is Geek Radio Daily.
You can't stop it, no matter what you do.
Isn't that fun? What people go see, yo?
This week's 10 was brand new. It was called Crimes of the Future. It made only $1 million in its opening week.
That's Minority Report. This week's 9 was last week's 8, The Lost City, making another $1.3 million. It's made $104 million in 11 weeks.
This week's 8, last week's 7, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, made another $1.7 million. It's made $188 million plus in the time it's been out.
This week 7
nine
is
weeks.
Also...
Sorry, it's been out for 9 weeks.
This week 7 is also new, Vikram, making $1.7 million.
This week 6, last week 6, Everything Everywhere All at Once made another $2 million. It's made 60.5 in 11 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 4, Downton Abbey, A New Era made almost $3 million this week. It's made $35 million in 3 weeks.
This week's 4, last week's 5, The Bad Guys made another $3.3 million. It's made a little over $87 million in 7 weeks.
This week's 3 was last week's 3, The Bob's Burgers Movie, another $4.5 million. It's made $22 million in 2 weeks.
This week's 2, last week's 2, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Put up another $9 million. It's made almost $389 million in 5 weeks.
The number one movie in America is still Top Gun Maverick, which basically made $86 million. It's made $291 million in dose weeks.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Christopher Landon, freaky, will write and direct an Arachnophobia remake for Amblin Partners.
Who announced it on Twitter saying, yeah, that's right, I'm bad.
The original 1990 horror comedy starring Jeff Daniels is about a species of South American killer spiders which hitch a ride to the U.S. in a coffin, and they begin to breed and kill within a small California town. This, of course, scares the townsfolk.
Yeah, no joke.
Until they remember that our brains secrete a neurotransmitter that enables us to deal with fear.
I don't think I have that particular neurotransmitter.
Amblin is partnering on the remake with James Wan's Atomic Monster, with Wan from Malignant, Michael Clear, The Conjuring, Devil Made Me Do It, set to produce, and Judson Scott on board as executive producer. Marshall also executive producer, with president of production Jeff Brody overseeing the project for Amblin. And, you know, John Goodman might make a cameo appearance.
Rock and roll.
Landon is known for directing Universal and Blumhouse's slasher comedy Freaky, starring Vince Vaughn, Catherine Newton, as well as Blumhouse's popular horror films Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You. Soon, the eight-legged, two-fanged with attitude critters will be roaming again. So why don't you check out back and maybe take the kitchen, and I'll just stay right here.
Yeah, me too. Well, how about this? A decades-long friendship is turning into a podcast this summer, and it's one that will surely have movie buffs tuning in. According to the Associated Press, filmmaker Quentin Tarantino and screenwriter Roger Avery are teaming up for the Video Archives podcast, which will dive deep into the VHS collection from the video store where the pair first worked together decades ago.
Of course Tarantino has the tapes.
Video Archive was a Manhattan Beach, California video store that went out of business, but before it did, it was a haven for budding movie nerds like Tarantino and Avery. The pair met while working there in 1983, and when the store went out of business, the future Kill Bill director bought out their inventory, which by his count included nearly 8,000 DVDs and VHS tapes.
I wonder how many of them had been rewound.
Now Tarantino and Avery will be revisiting their origins in audio form, watching and discussing a curated selection of titles from the archives. Though the pair haven't shared the list of titles they plan on rewatching, AP says the slate will include controversial James Bond films and, true to form for the Death Proof filmmaker, some exploitation films.
But I wouldn't expect them to be hitting up the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen franchises.
Those only exploited their childhood. This isn't the first time the duo has dipped their toes into podcasting. They appeared together just last year on Pure Cinema Podcast, an excellent and expansive companion podcast to Tarantino's theater, The New Beverly Cinema. Last December, Tarantino and Avery joined co-hosts Elric Kane and Brian Sauer for a four-hour deep dive on all of their favorite film discoveries from 2021.
And figured, can't be that hard.
Well, do they have a podcasting Rich Siegfried?
Nope.
The podcast will be in partnership with SiriusXM Stitcher, so they'll do all the hard work, and should be available on whatever platform you get your podcasts. Tarantino loves film, and he loves to talk. Frankly, I'm surprised it's taken him this long. And if you don't like him or it sucks, just listen to Video Fuzzy. It's probably going to be better.
They ripped you off, man. They ripped you off. If you've always dreamed of being Batman's sidekick, dream no more. The Caped Crusader is rappelling into an interactive experience spyscape in New York City where visitors will be able to put their detective skills to use to help solve a mystery involving the criminal organization Leviathan. The Batman X Spyscape experience utilizes a smartphone app that guests and allies of the DC superhero will use to piece together clues in different areas of a museum installation made up to look like Leviathan's headquarters.
Do you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts!
The organization's nefarious plan is to take down some of DC's biggest superheroes, including the Big Three, Supes, Bats, Wonder Woman. This almost harkens back to what the villain Prometheus tried to do in the early Grant Morrison Howard Porter run on Justice League back in the mid-1990s. However, it's a different villain who is traditionally the one pulling the strings behind Leviathan.
Penny Plunderer? The Baffler? What about Mr. Camera?
Tickets will initially be priced at $29, but expected to fetch somewhere in the neighborhood of $49, probably higher from a scalper. Once you've made it through the experience, you'll also be able to take home the souvenir book with a recap of your adventures and a comic-style rendering of your selfie.
Ooh, can I get a copy of the Bat credit card?
Batman X Spyscape opens this Wednesday, June 8th. This only gives you a couple of days to talk nonstop, smoke a bunch, and drink a lot. That way your voice will be ready to exclaim, I'm Batman.
Well, an international team of astronomers reports the discovery of a new super-Earth exoplanet orbiting a nearby M-dwarf star known as Ross 508. The newly founded alien world received the designation Ross 508b, turns out to be at least four times more massive than our planet.
Is it square? Is it Bizarro World?
Super Earths are planets more massive than Earth, but not exceeding the mass of something like Neptune. Although the term Super Earth refers only to the mass of the planet, it is also used by astronomers to describe planets bigger than Earth, but smaller than the so-called mini-Neptunes, with a radius between 2 to 4 Earth radii.
So, capes are not involved?
No. The newly discovered exoplanet Ross 508b has a minimum mass of 4 Earth masses and orbits its host 10.75 days at a distance of about 0.053 AU from it. According to the astronomers, this indicates an orbit averaged insolation of about 1.4 times the Earth's value, placing this planet near the inner edge of Ross 508's habitable zone,
making it very close to planet Fred.
The exact orbital eccentricity of Ross 508b is still unknown, and further studies on this could provide important information about the planet's origin. The researchers suppose that Ross 508b may have formed beyond the snow line, about 0.16 AU, and undergone inward type 1 migration. They noted that even if the eccentricity of a migrating alien world is initially high, it can be dampened by the force exerted on the planet by density waves. We know how power density can be, thanks to the voluminous research detailed in the papers of Dr. McFly. And if you had been a Friends fan for this Ross planet, you would have written some kind of joke that ended with pivot!
So I'm not. Las Vegas chapels of love that use Elvis Presley's likeness could find themselves becoming heartbreak hotels.
Oh, man. Gonna make me roll its ear on my blue suede shoes.
The licensing company that controls the name and image of the King is ordering Sin City chapel operators to stop using Elvis in themed ceremonies. Authentic Brands Group sent cease and desist letters in early May to multiple chapels, which are expected to be compliant by about now.
Now, those guys got some suspicious minds.
With Elvis so closely tied to Vegas wedding industry, some say the move could decimate their business. We're a family-run business, and now we're hanging with the big dogs, said Kayla Collins, who operates the Las Vegas Elvis Wedding Chapel.com and the Little Chapel of Hearts with her husband. That's our bread and butter. I don't get it. We're just hitting our stride again through COVID, and then this happens.
Of all the ways you can be, don't be cruel.
Clark County Clerk Lynn Goya, who led a marketing campaign promoting Las Vegas as a wedding destination, said the order for chapels to stop using Elvis couldn't have come at a worse time for the sector. The city's wedding industry generates $2 billion a year, and officials say Elvis-themed weddings represent a significant number of the ceremonies performed.
Well, I bet they're going to offer some way to rent the name, but it sounds like The Devil in Disguise.
Vegas Weddings president Melody Willis-Williams, who runs two wedding chapels in the city, says Elvis themes are always in demand. I really think the wedding industry has helped keep Elvis and his name alive for a generation that never got to see him. In the cease and desist letter, the company said it will halt unauthorized use of Presley's name, likeness, voice, image, and other elements of Elvis Presley's persona in advertisements, merchandise, and otherwise. The letter also said Elvis, Elvis Presley, and the King of Rock and Roll are protected trademarks.
This is going to definitely leave the Vegas wedding industry all shook up.
I can understand not letting his image be used to sell vacuum cleaners or hamburgers, but the weddings? Really? And his voice? It's so magic. Oh, no. Has anyone called in a check on Johnny Bravo? GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, 9States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at GeekRelated.com. And no, seriously, Mark told us, hey, man, you're using a Chad and Abby from, like, November of 2020. And I'm like, I don't even remember last week. So everyone visit Ohi Mark's website and go through and see if we're repeating anything else. We're going to try not to. Drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send us a voicemail or text message by using the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CRILL.
Sweet.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
I do not crave dick cheese on my toast.
See you around, super honky.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
So, Captain Hawk, in one of your paws, you've got a gold bar worth about 8,000. In the otra, you've got lead that won't get you gelato.
Surely a master thief like you can tell the difference.
That's one down, Kitty Carlisle.
Cool, isn't it? Weight, feel, malleability, they're all but identical. On the periodic chart of elements, they're but one proton apart. Great minds work for centuries to turn worthless into priceless.
Alchemy?
Alchemy is the business term of the 90s, my man. Minerva read about it in an airline magazine about 4 years ago. I dumped some lira into research, and shazam! We come across a diary by one of Da Vinci's assistants detailing La Macchina de Oro, the gold machine for those at home. And the rest is about to become history. Money isn't everything. Gold is. F*** T-bills. F*** blue chip stocks. F*** junk bonds. We've got the real deal. Money will always be paper, but gold will always be gold.
After a couple of years of steady production, we'll flood the market with so much gold that gold itself, the foundation of all finance, will lose its meaning. Brokers, economists, fellow entrepreneurs will drown in the saliva of their own nervous breakdowns.
Sounds like a party.
Markets will crash. Financial empires will crumble.